What does faith mean? Does faith mean having a generic optimism? In every day, in every way, I am getting better and better? Does faith mean positive thinking like the little train that could? No, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And get over the top of the mountain? Does faith mean not wanting to know what is true? As the philosopher Nietzsche put it. How do we know what faith means? The only way to know anything reliable about spiritual truth is to turn to God's Word. So turn with me once again to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Last week, we considered how God uses the events of this chapter to provide a picture of what happened on the cross, remember? How Abraham is a picture of God the Father loving us so much that he's willing to send his son to die on the cross. How Isaac is a picture of the willing obedience of Jesus Christ going to the cross even though he could have stopped the process at any time. How the ram pictures Jesus Christ as the substitute, dying in place of Isaac. And how Isaac restored and returned to his father, no longer under threat of being sacrificed, is a picture of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. So this chapter is a key part of God's redemptive plan, picturing events that were going to happen 2,000 years later and providing for us living 2,000 years after the cross more insight into what God actually did at the cross. Yet this chapter contains other lessons about the meaning of faith that we don't want to skip. Indeed, in the overall flow of the book of Genesis, these lessons about the meaning of faith are more central than the picture that God gives us of the cross in Genesis 22. So today we want to spend one more week in Genesis 22 and ask the question, what does faith mean? What does this chapter tell us about the meaning of faith? Well, this chapter provides us with 8 answers to that question. Faith means something. So those answers will be our outline. And if you want to have any hope at all of remembering these 8, you're going to have to take notes. You're not going to be able to remember all 8, I guarantee it. But just as I prayed, this is a long outline. I don't normally have an outline with 8 points in it. You know that. But just as I pray that God would help you to focus in on what are one or two of these identifications of what faith means that you can hold on to. So get the list, but hold on particularly to one or two. What does faith mean? Faith means listening to God. This is the first one. This is going to be the longest one. There's a lot to say about faith means listening to God. The others will be briefer. But look at verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. God called, and Abraham heard. Abraham listened. He responded, here I am. Abraham listened, even though the command was very costly to fulfill. Furthermore, Abraham kept listening to God. Skip down to verse 11. At this point, Isaac is on the altar. He is bound. The wood is ready. He has the coals ready to light the fire. He has the knife raised over Isaac. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Imagine a mother telling her son, let's call him George, to take out the trash. And he's arguing with her, but he finally picks up the trash and takes it out the front door, and he's going to deposit it in the trash can. And then he hears his mother calling out, "George, George!" And he thinks, what does she want now? I'm already obeying her. I'm just going to pretend that I didn't even hear her. Has any of you ever done something like that? We might excuse Abraham if he was thinking this way. I'm already obeying you, God. I'm about to do the hardest thing. So don't talk to me now. I don't want to hear anything more from you. I'm obeying, but I'm not very happy about it. But that was not Abraham's attitude, was it? Abraham listened to God when he first called, and he kept listening for God, so that when God called again, "Abraham, Abraham," he was listening. What would have happened if he wasn't listening? God gave him the word he wanted to hear more than any other word he could possibly have said. "Do not lay a hand on the boy." He was listening, and he kept listening to God. He didn't just listen and obey and then forget about God. He kept listening, and he was ready when God spoke again. Abraham listened to God. So should you and I. But let me ask you, what if you think you hear God telling you something that's wrong? Let's ask it in terms of Abraham. Was Abraham right to obey God's first command? Wasn't it immoral for Abraham to have Isaac on the altar there, tied up and ready to slit his throat and kill him? Indeed, many people have asked the question even from another perspective. Was God acting immorally to give Abraham such a command? This is the question that Soren Kierkegaard, the 19th century philosopher, asked at length. You can read about 60 pages of it in his book called Fear and Trembling. I don't think we should reject that out of hand. We need to face it. Let's put it in present-day perspective. Suppose that I hear a voice tonight that tells me, "Take Joel, your youngest son, whom you love, and sacrifice him on the top of Mount Mitchell tomorrow." What should I do? Should I obey that voice? If I begin to obey it and you have a chance to stop me, should you stop me? If you say I shouldn't obey the voice and you should stop me, what's the difference between me and Abraham? What makes Abraham's obedience exemplary and my obedience to that voice criminal? The main difference is that Abraham lived 2,000 years before Christ, and I live 2,000 years after Christ. I have God's full revelation of Himself in the Bible. Abraham did not. Abraham had some stories about the creation of the world and Adam and Eve. He didn't have more than what we've already preached through in the first 21 chapters of Genesis. That's what Abraham knew. Specifically, Abraham did not have Deuteronomy 18:10, which you and I have. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering." Abraham didn't know that. He didn't know that that was the kind of God God is. We know that. We know that. We have the fullness of God's revelation of Himself. So this is very important. This is very important. Faith means listening to God. How do you and I listen to God? First and foremost, we listen to God by listening to His Word, by listening to the Bible, by reading it, by hearing it preached faithfully and proclaimed, by studying it ourselves, by trying to figure out what it means. We pore over God's Word. That's how we listen to God. That's the main way we listen to God. We ask God to give us insight into Scripture, to understand how it applies to us today. We pray then that God will use His Scripture as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We give ourselves to God and ask Him to guide us and direct us through the circumstances of our lives, through sorrows, through joys, through frustrations, and through successes, through daily drudgery and through special thrills. We ask Him and we trust Him to channel our desires in His paths, to make us like Christ and have the desires of Christ. And then we step out in faith, in obedience to Him, trusting Him. Even if that step is not what we expected or what we asked for. So how do you then listen to God? Faith means listening to God. How do you do that? Be immersed in God's Word. We say that we are a church which is Bible saturated. Make your heart a heart which is Bible saturated. Meditate on Scripture every day. Store it up in your heart. Think about it when you're at the stoplight. Be a Bible-saturated person. And then, when issues face you, seek the guidance that can come from mature believers, but don't expect them to tell you exactly what to do. Seek guidance and rely not on your subjective impressions, but on the solid foundation of Scripture. If you think God has given you some subjective guidance, test it with Scripture. If it violates Scripture, you know it's not from God. So if I thought I heard God telling me, go sacrifice Joel, I know that's not from God. Because that's in direct opposition to what God reveals about Himself. And then, as we listen to God, what we see from His Word is that His first and foremost command to us is to love Him with all of our hearts and to take on His character, to become Christ-like. And so have that be your aim. Who you are is much more important than what you do. So as we take on the character of Christ, as we become more and more Christ-like, then the desires of our heart become what God Himself desires for us. And the details of where we live and what job we have and whom we marry, big decisions, but they become the outflow of God working in the desires of our heart. Thus, Abraham did not have the full revelation of God. He did not know that child sacrifice was wrong. Furthermore, as we talked about last week, God was giving Abraham and Isaac a special privilege at this point in redemptive history of acting out the role of God Himself and Jesus Christ His Son. So what God did to Abraham was not immoral, far from that. It was a tremendous, tremendous privilege. And Abraham was right to obey it. In the light that he had, he could not know that that was something God would never ask His people. We know that. We know that. So faith means listening to God. And for us, that means first and foremost being immersed in His Word. Listening to God. That's the first of eight. The next seven are much briefer. Faith means listening to God. Faith means obeying God. We must not only listen, we must then act. And what this passage tells us is that we must act even if obeying God means giving up what we love most. We looked at this last week. Remember how we saw how God kind of takes the point of the dagger and thrusts it into Abraham and twists it. He said, "You really don't want to do this, Abraham. I know it. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him." Jesus said something similar to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. He told him to give up what he loved most, and what he loved most was his possessions. "Go, sell all that you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me." But he wasn't willing. He wasn't willing. He heard Jesus. He listened to Jesus. He had, in fact, sought Jesus. But when Jesus told him to give up what he loved most, he didn't obey. Do you love anything more than you love God? Is there any person or possession or position that you love more than you love God? If God asks you to give that up, will you do it? Will you not only hear, will you obey? Why? Because you know that having God is your greatest joy. That you don't lose by following God. You don't lose. That rich young ruler wouldn't have lost a thing of joy, the smallest part of joy, if he'd given up everything that he had. But he wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Abraham had a few days of turmoil, but great joy from what he did in Genesis 22. What the Bible makes clear is that if you try to put God any place but first in your heart, you don't have God at all. If you try to put Him second or third or tenth or a hundredth in your heart, you don't have Him at all. Faith means listening to God. Faith Faith means obeying God, even when He tells you to give up what you love most. Third, faith means supplying what obedience requires. Now that may not be obvious what it means. Read verse 3 of Genesis 22. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And then if you look at verse 6, we see that Abraham also took fire, probably meaning he took live coals in a metal pot or something, and then he took a knife. Now, did God tell Abraham, go to the Mount of Moriah, take fire with you, take the knife with you, and take enough wood for the burnt offering? Did God tell him that? He didn't. God didn't give him those details of the command. Now, I can imagine Abraham hearing this word from God and thinking, oh, I know what I can do. So he takes Isaac with them. They go the 3 day journey to Mount Moriah. They climb up the mountain and they say, oh shoot, I didn't bring a knife. How am I going to sacrifice this boy without a knife? Or I don't have any fire. I can't start a fire. And I don't have enough wood anyway. There's not enough wood on the top of this mountain that you, God, directed me to start a fire and burn him up. So sorry, God, I can't do it. I wanted to do it. I was trying to obey, but I can't do it now. Would Abraham have been obeying God if he did that? Faith does not mean believing that God is going to give you everything you require without your thinking about it. As Beth has been known to say in our house, you have a brain, use it. Abraham knew what a burnt offering would require, and he took care of the details. So, if you think God is calling you to be a pastor, then you better think about what you need to do to best prepare yourself for that task. If you think God is calling you into missions, you better take the steps necessary to prepare yourself for that task. If you think God might call you to be a husband, you better learn what it means to be a godly husband and work hard to take on those character traits. So ask yourself, what are the parallels in my life to the wood, the knife, and the fire? What is God going to do with me in the future that I better work right now to take on those things and do those things so I don't get up there and say, well, God, I really want to obey you, but I don't have to. What do I need to supply in order to be obedient to God? What do I need to supply in order to be obedient to God? Faith means listening to God. Faith means obeying God. Faith means supplying what obedience requires. Fourth, faith means being willing to follow God alone. Faith means being willing to follow God alone. Bruce Waltke, professor at Reformed Theological Seminary Orlando and at Regent College in Vancouver, points out that there's a Hebrew expression in verse 2 that's left untranslated in virtually all English versions. Literally, God tells Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go by yourself to the land of Moriah. Go by yourself. Clearly, he doesn't mean go alone. He had to take Isaac with him. And Abraham wasn't disobeying by taking his two servants to help carry things. Indeed, the same expression, the only other place in the Bible where this same Hebrew expression is used, is in the beginning of Abraham's call, in chapter 12, verse 1, when he calls him out of Ur and tells him to leave his family and his city. And he took Sarah with him at that point, and so he wasn't disobeying God, clearly, by taking Sarah. It was God's plan for him to be with Sarah. So the idea isn't, Abraham, go off alone. This is fundamentally, Abraham, your responsibility. Your responsibility. Even if it means leaving everything and everyone, you are to go. So are you obedient, Abraham, or are you not? And I think it's this little by yourself which leads Abraham not even to say a word to Sarah before he goes. I think he feels he couldn't tell her. And it would be a terrible temptation to disobey God. And so he just goes by yourself. Sometimes following God means going alone. Frequently it means being willing to go alone. I had to face that in my call to full-time ministry. I had sought the counsel and the advice of many people. I had tried to immerse myself in God's Word. I had counted the cost. But when the moment of decision came, am I going to leave this job that I have at Williams College? And after a lengthy time of prayer, I was thinking, Cody, are you so confident in this call that you would follow God even if people you respect and love think you're crazy to do it? And the answer was yes. And God was very gracious, and it didn't mean going alone. There weren't too many people who thought I was crazy. There were a few. At least not those that I most admired and respected. But some people are called to go off and do things that to everyone else around them look absolutely foolish. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to be willing to go alone in some sense, leaving behind someone that we love, leaving behind the counsel of some people who love us and saying, my call is to follow God. Faith means listening to God. Faith means obeying God. Faith means supplying what obedience requires. Faith means being willing to follow God alone. Fifth, faith means obeying promptly. When did Abraham obey God? God speaks to him. Early the next morning, it says, he goes out and chops the wood. And he gets everything together and they leave as soon as they can. Faith means obeying promptly. He didn't wait thinking, okay, you know, if I stall long enough, maybe God will change his mind. He didn't say, God, all right, I'll do it, but you know, I'm very busy these days. You know, let me check my calendar. The sheep need to be sheared. The fence needs to be repaired. I got a camel about to give birth. And let's see. You know, I think I could fit in a 6-day journey there and back, maybe kind of the end of September. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He dropped everything and he obeyed promptly. Jesus demanded the same. Remember, Jesus would say to a man, follow me. And what happened? Well, not the same thing happened every time. He says, follow me to Peter and Andrew, and they follow. He says, follow me to Levi, Matthew, in his tax booth. And Levi gets up and leaves it all behind him and follows Jesus. But in Luke 9, Jesus says, follow me to a man, and he tries to delay. And Jesus rebukes him. Faith means obeying promptly. When you know God has commanded you, do it. Don't delay. Faith means listening to God. Faith means obeying God. Faith means supplying what obedience requires. Faith means being willing to follow God alone. And faith means obeying promptly. Six, faith means obeying for the long run. This almost sounds like it contradicts the previous one. Faith means obeying promptly. Faith means obeying for the long run. But what it means is that that prompt obedience is characteristic of your life. And you continue to promptly obey God, and you continue to follow through on your obedience hour after hour, week after week, year after year. Abraham's faith was both prompt and enduring. He left the very next morning, but remember, as we talked about last week, he had 3 days. 3 days to think about what God was doing. 3 days to think about this horrible command that God had given him and what was going to come at the end of those 3 days. That made his obedience harder. Surely, Abraham was tempted to lose his focus as time passed, as the encounter with God began to move into the distance. He must have been tempted to second-guess God, to make excuses, to try to argue and say why he really should not obey this command. But Abraham was faithful, and he obeyed despite the delay, and he maintained this particular obedience for 3 days. So we can look at the life of Abraham as we're drawing to the close of the life of Abraham now, and say that Abraham really obeyed God for decades and decades. Abraham's life was characterized by faith in God from the time he left Ur of the Chaldeans until his death. Not without lapses, as Dee prayed and as we have seen in the course of our studies. His faith did lapse, but the overall pattern of his life was one of growing faith and trust in God. Abraham did not make a commitment and live up to it for 6 weeks and then forget about it. He did not obey God just for a period of his life and then began to walk in other paths. He disobeyed, he repented, and then he lived a life characterized by faith in God. Eugene Peterson has a book whose title captures this idea, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. I can't recommend the book. I haven't read it. I've only read the first chapter of it. And the title is actually from that same godless philosopher, Nietzsche, whom we saw at the beginning, said faith means not wanting to know what's true. But Nietzsche was kind of an interesting man. And when he said this, he was capturing an important idea. A long obedience in the same direction. Let me read you a little bit from the first chapter of Peterson's book. He's talking about tendencies in U.S. culture. And he says, we assume that if something can be done at all, it can be done quickly and efficiently. Our attention spans have been conditioned by 30-second commercials. It is not difficult in such a world to get a person interested in the message of the gospel. It is terrifically difficult to sustain that interest. Many claim to have been born again, but the evidence for mature Christian discipleship is slim. In our kind of culture, anything, even news about God, can be sold if it is packaged freshly. But when it loses its novelty, it goes on the garbage heap.
There is a great market for religious experience in our world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue. Little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. A long obedience in the same direction. Isn't that what you want for your life? Isn't that what God calls you to in your life? Our present small group Bible study for members is exactly on this topic. We kind of fooled you into thinking it was mainly about evangelism. But it's mainly about discipleship, how you are going to grow as a believer, how you can have this long obedience in the same direction, and then your life can be characterized by inviting and helping others also to join you for that long obedience in the same direction. Don't you want the faith to obey God, to trust Him in all circumstances, to keep short accounts with God, and to follow after Him without grumbling when you don't understand, when things don't seem to be going according to your plan? Don't you want that type of faith? Faith means obeying for the long run. For the long run. So we've seen faith means listening to God, obeying God, supplying what obedience requires, being willing to follow God alone, obeying promptly, obeying for the long run, and then seventh, faith means knowing God will fulfill His promises. Faith means knowing God will fulfill His promises. What had God promised Abraham? As many descendants as the number of stars. Indeed, as many descendants as the number of grains of sand on the seashore. He had promised him that all the families of the nations would be blessed through him. And he knows that Sarah's offspring, Isaac, is the one through whom all these blessings will come. Knowing that Abraham knows about God's promises and believes God's promises, look at verse 5. They're at the base of the mountain. Abraham says to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." In English, it's not so obvious. In Hebrew, it's obvious. "Come again to you" is a third person plural conjugation of the verb. We will come again to you. I and the boy will come again to you. And he thinks he's going up into the top of the mountain to slaughter him. Is Abraham lying? Is he deceiving his men? Is he just saying something so he doesn't give away what's going to happen? No. Abraham knows that Isaac is the one through whom his descendants, as many as the grains of sand on the seashore, have to come. So Abraham knows that whatever he does to Isaac, God is going to have to restore him. Abraham knows that the one who made a dead womb come alive so this baby could be born can take a dead child and raise him to life and restore him to him. And the author of the book of Hebrews tells us exactly that. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Abraham had complete confidence in God's provision, complete confidence in God's promises. If he was to kill Isaac, he knew, without any doubt, that God was going to restore him. Then look down at verse 14. After God does all this, Abraham called the name of that place what? what? The Lord, what? Not the Lord provided. Not the Lord has provided, but the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. He is always faithful to His promises. He will always supply what is needed. If it looks like His plan is completely stopped, God will restore it and provide whatever is necessary to fulfill it. Always. God will provide whatever is necessary to fulfill His good purposes for us. This is not a promise that God will meet every earthly desire. This is not a promise that God is going to work according to our timetable. This is certainly not a promise that God is going to give us an easy life. Quite the contrary. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But there's a tremendous promise which we have received that parallels Abraham's promise. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your needs in accordance with His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Proportionate to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And how great are those riches? He will supply all you need to accomplish all the good works He has prepared in advance for you to do. And when you've done all those, when you fulfilled Ephesians 2:10 in your life, He will take you to Himself. Maybe through starvation, maybe through disease, maybe through accident, maybe through violent crime, maybe through natural disaster. Doesn't matter. When you have accomplished everything, God will bring you to Himself. Remember, I keep on telling you this. I hope you remember it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last chapter of the last book that Paul writes. Paul knows he's going to be beheaded. And he says, God will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. That blade which decapitated Paul was not an evil attack. That was God's means of bringing His servant into His presence for all eternity. Faith means knowing that God will fulfill His promise. Last, faith means receiving the promised blessings of the Lord. Faith means receiving the promised blessings of the Lord. Verse 16, God speaking now to Abraham, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. God was testing Abraham. He told us that back in verse 1. He was testing Abraham. Abraham passed the test as God knew that he would. And then God gives Abraham this added assurance that all of God's promises to him will be fulfilled. Question, did Abraham see the promises fulfilled in his lifetime? He saw his son born. He sees his son married, as we'll see next week. He dies peacefully, but he surely doesn't see his descendants become as numerous as the sand on the seashore, and he surely doesn't see what he rejoiced to see, according to John chapter 8, the coming of the Messiah through his seed. And other men and women of faith saw even less of the fulfillment. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 briefly. The end of Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 35, talking about the men and women of faith that he does not have time to talk about. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. They suffered, they were faithful, they were men and women of faith. They did not receive in their lifetimes what was promised, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. But with us, they will be made perfect. When? In the new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness dwells. God is coming. Through the blood of Jesus, He's bringing a people together for His joy and His glory. And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there'll be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain. The old order of things will be gone and passed away. God is making all things new. This is our ultimate promise. This is the promise to which we hold on to always. God is making all things new. He invites us to dwell for all eternity as a perfect creation in His presence. This is the reward of faith. This is the end. This is the eternal joy. It does begin now, praise God. By faith, even now, we see God, we see Christ as through a mirror darkly. But at that day, we will see face to face. The reward is coming. The promise is certain. But the ultimate reward is not in this life. Faith means receiving the promised blessing of God on the last day and not before. So what does faith mean? What does faith mean? Faith means listening to God. Faith means obeying God. Faith means supplying what obedience requires. Faith means being willing to follow God, even if it means leaving behind what you love most. Faith means obeying promptly. Faith means obeying for the long run. Faith means knowing God will fulfill His promises. And faith means receiving, in the end, all the blessings of God for all eternity. Do you have faith? Do you want this kind of faith? You can have it. It's a gift. You can have it. Say to God, Lord God, I want to believe like Abraham believed. I want my life to be characterized by faith the way Abraham's life was characterized by faith. I want to have that long obedience in the same direction. I want to focus on the ultimate reward of an eternity of gazing at your face and coming to know you better and better day by day for millions and millions of years. Accept me, I pray, Lord God, by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and enable me to be that kind of person. Give me the faith to believe. Give me the faith to obey. I believe, Lord God. Help my unbelief. Pray like that. And God will welcome you for all eternity.